Hi, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of Freedom from Addiction, Truth Just Below the Surface of the Neil Haley Show. And I'm excited to welcome the program, Reverend Wynn Henderson, MD. Wynn, how are you?
I'm doing great today, Neil. You know, this podcast, which goes all over the world, is the longest running spiritually based radio internet podcast in America, has three topics that we talked about: how to get over 30 different types of addictions, your purpose in life, and truth just below the surface. And this podcast deals with truth just below the surface. And I'm going to review a peer-reviewed paper, which can be found at Primary Doctor Medical Journal, to tell you about the question, do all COVID-vaccinated people have some myocarditis? This paper addresses this question and tells about the well-known mechanism of spike protein-induced myocarditis. Considering the epidemiological consequences of mass vaccination with spike protein-generating COVID vaccines, such as being deployed throughout the world at present, the cardiac impacts of spike protein distribution have risen to particular concern due to the recent extraordinary increase in new cases of myocarditis and pericarditis, including among populations that typically have vanishingly rare incidence of this disease, especially young men, with particularly anomalous occurrence in young male athletes. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, finds increased reported cases of myocarditis following the mRNA COVID-19 vaccination, most notably in adolescents and young adults, including in the absence of COVID-19 infection. Myocarditis was only rarely found post-vaccination prior to the COVID mRNA vaccines, and then mostly associated with the smallpox vaccine. Typically and historically, myocarditis patients are older with high prevalence of diabetes, hypertension, atrial fib, coronary artery disease, and heart failure. Myocarditis is an extremely concerning condition. Due to the generally much higher activity level of a young athlete than the historical prototype myocarditis patient, we are simply noticing greater contrast in the activity level before and after COVID vaccines in the former, and missing this contrast and hence the myocarditis diagnosis in more sedentary individuals. This patient will examine the possible mechanisms of mRNA COVID vaccine associated with myocarditis in order to assess how common this association is. Dr. Roger Hodgkinson, pathologist, talked about this in previous videos and interviews. He said, myocarditis is never mild, particularly in young, healthy males. It's an inflammatory condition of the heart muscle, which pumps the blood through the body. And we don't know what percentage of the heart muscle cells would have died in any one attack of myocarditis. The big thing about the heart muscle and heart muscle fibers is that they do not regenerate. So you're stuck with an unknown percentage of your heart muscle cells having died. We cannot estimate the number, and therefore the long-term results are utterly unpredictable. We do know that myocarditis can present decades later with premature onset of heart failure that would otherwise not have been expected. So it's a terrible worry for these people to know what's going to happen to them in the future. This is not trivial as mortality and morbidity from SARS-CoV-2 and COVID-19 and its variants have diminished, and worldwide death rate per 1,000 people is still at a relatively low rate in 2020 and 21 compared with the last 7 decades, without evidence of any recent pandemic by mortality data, we can turn our attention to the health effects of the new COVID vaccines. None of the new vaccines attempts to introduce the entire coronavirus into the body, but rather a spike protein generating mechanism. For unknown reasons, the mRNA vaccine researchers had expected spike proteins to remain entirely in the deltoid muscle at the vaccination site of the person being vaccinated, as reported in the media. It was apparently imagined that those spike proteins could somehow evade release into the general circulation. However, it has recently been determined that the delivery and travel in an organism away from the site of injection, in accordance with well-established principles of circulation throughout the body and including the internal organs, occurs. Organs that have been affected by this wide body distribution include the heart, the brain, the spleen, the liver, and especially high concentrations found in ovaries and plasma. The spike protein is the part of the coronavirus in general, and SARS-CoV-2 in particular, that attaches to and interacts with the human cell membranes. It is worthwhile to examine if post-vaccine myocarditis is likely to be caused by spike proteins generated by the vaccines, and to result from either the cytokine storm or from endothelial damage caused by spike proteins, considering a wider set of possible causes, we know that fulminant SARS-CoV-2 infection is characterized by hypoxia, low oxygenation, systemic inflammation, and thrombosis and or cardiomyopathy, as well as myocarditis. All of these have been observed in vitro in the presence of spike proteins, and all of these can result in higher levels of measured tropopin, which in turn establishes the diagnosis of myocarditis. At this time, there is not any other part of the SARS-CoV-2 virus that is known to attach to human cells. The binding of the spike protein to cell membranes initiates a cascade of events that results in fusion of the viral and cellular membranes and entry of the virus into the human cytoplasm. The spike proteins that are generated by mRNA COVID vaccines are said to be identical to those attached to SARS-CoV-2. The spike protein in SARS-CoV-2 is trimeric, or a three-part protein composed of functional S1 and S2 units. Each of these units, incidentally, are bound and inactivated by the drug ivermectin. In the absence of ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, the two drugs most thoroughly studied and most widely used in early cases of COVID-19, the spike protein remains in a conformation that enables it to attach to the ACE2 receptor on human cells and to enter by that portal. Conversely, either of those drugs are able to change the conformation of the spike protein in a way that prevents them entry into the human cell. Spike protein was found to enter the cardiomyocytes in vitro, and cytotoxicity was detected at 24 hours after exposure, and profound cytopathogenic effects were visible at 96 hours in cardiomyocytes. The spike protein alone of the COVID V2 has been found to have damaging effects on endothelial cell function. In fact, the spike protein alone was found to produce pro-apoptotic factors that were determined by researchers to be responsible for endothelial cell death. Endothelial cells that were treated with spike protein showed mitochondrial fragmentation and dysmorphic changes, as well as reduced mitochondrial respiration with redox stress, but increased glycolysis. And it was shown that the S protein alone damaged endothelial cells by this mechanism. Increasingly, in these vitro studies, cell function was found to be restored by adding another compound, N-acetyl L-cysteine, which is a reactive oxygen specific inhibitor. The spike protein has been found without other viral elements to stimulate cell signaling to human cardiac parasites that there has been associated cardiac cell dysfunction. Electrocardiogram, EKG, abnormalities have been found following COVID vaccine administration. These EKG abnormalities include diffuse ST elevation, an inverted T wave in lead 3, as well as tachycardia. When spike proteins have been introduced to the body, either through the SARS-CoV-2 virus or by means of the mRNA vaccines, is there any realistic way possible to block their interaction with the ACE2 receptors in the individual? In the case of acute infection, infected individuals have a self-limiting encounter with the spike proteins, which may be thwarted by some of the therapies mentioned above. However, in the case of the mRNA vaccine, no endpoint of spike protein production is now known, nor is it known if it's safe to use any of the spike protein blocking therapeutics in vaccinated individuals. If such an expectation is not realistic, then mRNA vaccines that prepare human cells to generate to a known supply of spike proteins for an unknown amount of time to be treated with extreme caution and avoidance until better understood is necessary. It's also necessary to defer further vaccination until there are known methods of both discharge of such proteins and the mechanism to turn off or attenuate mRNA-induced spike proteins and or to safely thwart the destructive effects of spike proteins in host cells. We must also urgently learn the answer to the following question. Is the human recipient of a spike protein-generated mRNA vaccine reasonably expected to continue to generate spike proteins for an indefinite amount of time, or even permanently? We need to know this because the spike protein has been shown to have deleterious effects, and because myocarditis, which seems to be one of those effects, is now being observed in vaccinated individuals, the mechanism of which or discussed in this paper. There is an observed precedent for mRNA medical treatment to have lasting effects on our DNA, which impacts future as well as present generations. Questions involving such serious potential consequences for health must be answered, and standards of safely and informed consent must be met before an ambitious experimental procedure on a massive scale that we are witnessing is deployed in our population. And let me say that the idea of getting a shot in your deltoid muscle in your shoulder and it staying there and not going to all organs of the body is ridiculous. And the injection can be made into a vein, in which case it's almost certainly in the bloodstream and going to give you problems. Do you notice when you watch on videos how the vax shots are given? They stick the needle in the muscle and inject it. They do not pull back on the needle to see if it's in a vein. That's almost everything I've ever seen. I have not seen them try to aspirate blood before they give the shot. And this means that a certain percentage of people are being vaccinated directly into the circulation. I believe this is significant and in some cases deadly. And that's my report, Truth Just Below the Surface. Tell your friends, neighbors, family to listen to my podcast to find out the latest that they should be thinking about with respect to COVID-19 problem. And the address for that free podcast is www.freedomfromaddiction.libsyn.com. You spell Libsyn, L-I-B as in boy, S-Y-N. No caps and no spaces. And this is really important that you tell people to come to this podcast where they can get information that you cannot get anywhere else.
All right. That was Freedom from Addiction, Truth, Justice, Below the Surface, and the Neil Haley Show. Take care.